1 Kings 17 and verse number 9. Verse number 8. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And I want to talk today about the will of God and the challenges that we face. Every one of us in here, those that are watching online, those that are listening on the phone, we ought to have a desire to be in the center of God's will for our life. Some of what God's will is obvious to us from the Word of God. Some of what God's will is for us is just kind of God guides us and leads us, and through counsel as we move along in life, God reveals what is His secret will to us, and we'll explain that here. But whether it's the smallest of things or the largest of things, when it comes to the will of God, we're always going to face challenges that try to stop us from doing what we know it is God wants us to do. That's what I want to talk about this morning, the will of God and challenges that we face. Let's pray. God, would you help us today as we preach your word? I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you'll fill me and use me. And then, Lord, I pray for the teenagers and the adults that are in this room this morning, those that are listening at home. God, I pray that if there's an area of our life where we know we're not in the will of God, I pray that today your Holy Spirit would convict, and Lord, that we'll get right and confess it as sin and get into the center of God's will. I pray if there's something that you've been dealing with hearts about and maybe a matter of your secret will for their life, I pray that today there'll be some kind of a path given to find that perfect will. It's what we want, Lord. We want to hear one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because in this life we did not live according to the arm of the flesh and the will of the flesh, but because in this life as Christians we lived according to the will of God. So help us today. I pray you'll bless our other two kid churches going on right now and the speakers back there. I pray you'll do a work in our midst on this property today, and we'll thank you for what you'll do, and we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You could be seated. God's revealed will for this widow woman in our text here at this moment in her life was to provide a meal or provide food or sustenance for the man of God, Elijah. Now, there are many areas of written will of God for our life that we find in the Bible. Basically, it works this way. If it's commanded in the Bible, then it is the will of God for our life. I realize sometimes you get in the Old Testament and you deal with the Hebrews and you deal with ceremonial law and even their civic law there. And I realize there are times where you have to pay attention to who is being spoken to when you realize what is being said. But for the most part, when you read through the Bible, I mean, if God's Word says it, then you could say that's the will of God for my life. Things like this, as simple as this, even though some of these we don't practice as we should, but here is the will of God for my life. Pray without ceasing. So it's God's will that I talk to Him all the time. How about this? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We're supposed to give thanks for everything, but as they just sang about the fiery trials there, think about that. in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So whatever we're going through at that moment, hey, let's thank God because God's allowing it for a reason. What about a verse like this? When God says, come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord. That is the will of God for my life, that I live a holy, clean, separated Christian life. What about this? You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. All right, that's a command. It is, you say, well, I'm not a soul winner. I'm not one that could talk to people. I get that. I'm an introvert myself when I'm not leading the crowd. But friend, listen, we always find someone to talk to about something. Whether it be hunting, whether it be sports, whether it be trucks, you know, all kind of conversation. And God says, my will for your life is that you tell people about me. And we could do that, whether we do that verbally or whether we do that just handing a gospel tract or leaving one somewhere. But God says, my will for the life of every Christian is to be a witness of Jesus Christ. What about this one? It's God's will. The Bible says, husbands, love your wife. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And so it's not just, well, I do love her, but it's even as Christ. He says, I want you to do love your wife like Christ loved the church. He gave himself for it. And he says, husband, I want you to pour your life out for your wife and then certainly also for your kids. Now, you wives are like, yes, but you know, the Bible also says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband. Uh-oh. I just lost my lunch invitation right there. And I like the fact that it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband, because we have no problem submitting to maybe the guy that pays our paycheck, or, you know, but when it comes to our own husband, it's like, well, he will not tell you, get that little snappy finger thing. He will not tell me what to do. And listen, but here's the thing, men, we've got to give them someone they can respect and submit to. Now, ladies, you don't have an option in the sense of, well, you just don't understand. I didn't write the Bible. God did. But it's a whole lot easier. It's a whole lot easier for a husband to love a wife when she's lovable. It's a whole lot easier for a wife to submit to a husband who makes wise choices and leads the family in a godly way. But those are just samples of areas that are the will of God for our life. We don't have to pray about it. We don't have to have counseling. We don't have to discuss it. If we read it in the Bible and it's very obvious it's written to us there, then we say, all right, I know that's the will of God for my life. Young people, the Bible says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Well, you don't understand, I'm 16 now. That's just the teen girls talking like that. But no, you don't understand, I'm 16. I love my son. I love he's working in bus church today. He's not feeling well. He's got this allergy jump, but I'm glad he got up and came. We had a bunch of people missing today, and some of them needed to stay away, contagious sickness and all. But I'm glad. But, man, you teenagers can be little know-it-alls. I took him the other day. Josh was with me last week, and when I was preaching for my brother and Tyler, and I said, hey, man, you're going to drive your truck, and you're going to drive Miss Daisy, and I'm Miss Daisy. And I said, you're going to drive me to Uncle Shane's church. And I said, we're going to go to Sam's and get a bunch of cleaning supplies for the church, and we'll use your truck. And then on the way home, I can relax and drink some coffee, and you could drive. So he's rolling with me. Well, he told me a couple weeks ago, he got in my truck. He said, man, Dad, your AC works great. I said, yeah, it's a newer truck. And he said, mine doesn't work as great. I said, well, it's an older truck. It's worn out. I'm not kidding. Tuesday night, we get in his truck to go to Tyler. It's 5 o'clock. It's 80 degrees outside, which is pretty hot right now for us. And we get about 2 miles down the road. And I said, Josh, your air does not work at all. There is no Freon in your... He's like, oh, dude, I just thought that I thought it didn't work as well. I said, man, your truck's going to the shop next week. There's none there. We went to Sam's and, of course, picked up a lot of stuff for the church, a lot of supplies. We do that about once a quarter, but we needed all kinds of cleaning supplies here, the gym. We needed ink. We needed all kinds of paper goods and whatever. Well, we go to Sam's. It's a $500 bill. And then we went to Home Depot and had to get some floor cleaning supplies that we use here and a couple of other things that we needed here at the church. It was a $200 bill. And he's like, Dad, good grief, 2 hours times $700. I said, yeah. I said, it ain't cheap to keep a church going. I said, guess what? Life's not cheap either. Yeah, you two got it all together because you have YouTube. You read it on YouTube. Yeah, just wait. Just wait. Now, children, there's a reason God says you're to obey your parents. It gives you the promise of long life. You ought to obey your parents just because it's the thing to do to honor mom and dad. You know what that means? That means doing things right then with the right spirit in a right way. You don't understand what my parents done to me. I'm sorry. I hate whatever you feel like has been done to you. But I cannot find a way for you to get around this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I don't get it. And parents, we ought to not just command respect. We certainly should by being the parent we ought to be. But we have the right to demand respect and demand obedience. And there are ways to do that. We'll not get into that today. But the Bible gives us some very specific, this is God's will, this is God's will, this is God's will, this is God's will. And then there is the unwritten will of God. Let's say you're sitting in church one night and you're kind of wondering, are you serving in the right area? And maybe I get up and preach on a bus ministry or something. And like Brother Greg years ago, God began to work on his heart. And he knew then bus ministry is where I need to be. And over the years, I've said, Brother Greg, are you ready to, you know, you're getting old, grouchy, pretty much like me. Are you ready to do something different? He's like, I've got to be doing something in the bus ministry. I know that's what God wants from my life. I think you find the will of God in people like Ms. Shuford running a church nursery for so many years. I think that is the will of God for her life. She's a perfect fit. She's sweet enough and she's mean enough. She's sweet enough to the kids, mean enough to put up with the moms. It works perfect. It's the will of God. June of 1996 is when God called me to preach, or where I fully surrendered. He had called me in 92 after my junior year in high school, but in 96 I was already in secular college. God called me to preach. It's not like I was reading anything in the Bible that said, Jeremy, this is what thou shalt do. Understandest what thou readest? I wasn't reading anything. I was hearing the Word of God preached at Potigo Camp. God began to tug at my heart, and I knew God wanted me to go into Bible college. 4 years later, I graduate Bible college, like he's about to in a couple of months, graduate Bible college. I had no idea what I was going to do. I still didn't know what exactly does God want me doing and where. And of course, Miss Audie and I got married and moved away for 9 months and never could really get started in a church there in the right kind of way. Couldn't find the church type of church that we were used to. So we moved back home in whatever year. I guess that was December of 99. Later on that year in 2000, in about October, November 2000, my dad gets all the boys together in our family. He says, guys, I think we're leaving Trinity after all this time, 17 and a half years. I think we're leaving. He said, I've had an offer to take a church in Fort Worth. He said, this same fellow asked me several years ago. I said, no. But he said, I feel like it's the will of God this time. He said, we're leaving. And then at some point there, he talked to me. He said, now, Jeremy, would you consider being a candidate for the pastor of the church of Trinity? And I've said this over and over the years, but that's the first time ever in my life I'd even thought. I guess I thought Dad would just be here forever. That's the first time in my life I'd ever even considered that I would be the pastor here. What I'm saying to you, and that was over 20 years ago now, but what I'm saying to you is, so it wasn't written anywhere, but God will lead us if we'll just yield ourselves to Him. Well, I just don't know who I'm going to marry one day. You keep doing exactly what you know God wants you to do, and obey God. God will show you who that spouse is, right? The truth is, if we'll stay busy reading and learning and practicing the revealed written Word of God, then at certain times in our life, God will reveal to us His secret will. whatever may be next for us. This is why young people all of a sudden get confused about the will of God, because they stop doing what they're supposed to be doing that is plainly written in the Bible. Now, every Christian ought to desire and dedicate themselves to living faithfully in the will of God. I want to know the Bible. I want to make sure I'm lining up with God's book. I want to make sure I'm in the will of God. I want to make sure that my marriage is in the will of God, that my family is in the will of God, because that is the blessed place to live. 1 Peter 4 tells us that we shouldn't, as Christians, live the rest of our life to the will of the flesh, but to the will of God. As we pursue the will of God for our life, as we choose to live in obedience to Him, we can be certain that the devil, the world, some family, perhaps some church members, and certainly our flesh is going to fight against us. Take it, I'm not trying to dwell here on purpose, because we just got done doing a couples retreat in Abilene this weekend, but so I guess that's kind of on my mind and on my heart. But you take this, I mean, husband, if you say, you know what, I'm helping out around the house and I'm helping with the kids, and maybe you have a brother who says, you're doing what? You say, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to love my wife and give myself to her like the Lord gave Himself for the church and serve. You know that ain't the way we was raised. You know me, make paycheck, woman, do everything. You say, you just go on and do whatever you want to do. I'm just trying to make sure I have a happy marriage and a balanced home and some raise some good kids and things like that. I mean, ladies, come on. If your husband walks in a room like preacher does, it says, hey, let's go. And if you bail like Miss Ogden does when she's like, ready to go? You watch her. She's ready. When I say let's go, and I don't mean in a bossy sense, it's just her desire is towards me. Her desire is not towards every friend in this church. It's like, hey, preacher's tired. We're ready to bail. Let's go. But some people do that. Some husband come in and say, hey, let's go. Excuse me. You have keys and you know where to find your supper. Dairy Queen. You know, but if you say, you know what, wives, love your husband, submit to your husband, all those words now that are sin in this society, and you try to do that, you're going to have a sister, an aunt, a mom, an old friend that can say, you're doing what? You can say, I'm just trying to have a happy marriage. I'm just trying to line up with the Bible. I mean, God's the one that designed marriage. I might as well follow the instructions. If we choose to do the will of God, there's always going to be someone fighting against us. Paul told the church at Thessalonica, he said, we would have come to you once and again, but Satan hindered us. Look at 1 Kings chapter 17 there in our text. There in our text in 1 Kings 17, there had been no rain in Israel for some time because of the sin of Israel. And God took care of Elijah, the man of God, the preacher man. He took care of him at the brook Cherith, and he took care of him. The ravens brought him meat, brought him food, and he drank from the brook, and God provided his need. Well, the brook dried up, and God said, all right, I want you to go to Zarephath. There is a widow there, and she is going to take care of you. Now, God had all, I want you to notice here, in chapter 17 and verse number 8, that God had already spoken to this woman about his will for her life. Look at verse 8. The word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. All right, so that's God speaking to Elijah. But here's where God says, I've already spoken to the lady. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. All right, so God had already revealed his will for her life to her. Now I want you to notice what happens here. In verse number 10. Well, let me give you these thoughts here, and I'll read it as I go. I want to show you three challenges that she had to overcome, that you and I have to overcome to do the will of God, and then we'll talk quickly about doing the will of God. Number one is this. If we're gonna perform the will of God for our life, if we're gonna live in the will of God, no matter if it's plainly written in the Bible, or if it's something that, you know, God opens the door for us to be a pastor, whatever, you know, those type of things. There are some challenges we have to overcome. Number one is this, the I can't mentality. Well, I could never be that kind of husband. Well, I could never be that kind of wife. Well, I could never preach. Well, I could never go to Bible college. Well, I could never tithe. Well, I could never walk away from my worldly friends. It's the I can't mentality. Look at verse number 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, and that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called for her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, verse 12, she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. I have not. No, she said, I can't. God had already spoken to her heart about what he wanted her to do, but she says to the preacher, I can't. The preacher gave her the word of the Lord, and her first response was, I cannot. How often do we find ourselves with that attitude? I can't witness. I can't live right. I can't love my wife properly. I can't submit to him. I can't mind my parents. I can't run a bus route. I can't forgive them. I can't quit gossiping. I can't quit lying. I could never go to Bible college. I can't. But wait a minute. Doesn't the Bible say, with God, nothing shall be impossible? And I thought the Bible also said that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You guys that are in your 20s now, you remember Brother Greg in Christian school? We're not going to have the cancer here. We're not going to have the cancer here. We're not going to have that. I'm so tired of hearing kids say, I can't. I'll get into Joshua about that. We'll be doing his math, and sometimes he'll run into something and just immediate. It's like, well, I just don't get it. I'll say, read it again. Look at it again. Work it out on paper. Just, I don't want to hear the I can't. Some of you young people have so much pride. All you ever have is the I can. And God's going to give you some good old kicks in the seat of the pants in your life till you realize you don't know everything and you don't have all the answers and you do need other people and you do need God. But I don't like it when the first reaction before we even try to work the problem is, I can't do this. But you know, we as adults do the same thing. I can't. Hey, you got to move forward by the grace of God. I can't. You need to forgive your spouse. You're going to have some bad days. I can't. You know, you ought to be tithing off your income. I can't. Hey, you know, you ever thought about teaching a Sunday school class? I can't. The I can't mentality. There's a second mentality that we have to battle when it comes, that some of us have to battle when it comes to this thing about the will of God. That is the me first mindset. Me first. Look at verse number 12. She said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil and a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. Elijah said, he was only repeating what God had already said. And Elijah said, would you get me some water? She thought, oh, I'll get him some water. He said, would you get me a morsel of bread? She said, I can't. I can't do that. God, I can do this, but I don't know about this part of the will of God. And then Elijah says, well, I'll tell you what, make me some food. And she says, no, what I'm going to make food for is for me and for my son. Boy, we've got a lot of that today in churches. Me first. If it works for me, I'll do it. If it fits my schedule, I'll do it. If it's convenient for me, I'll do it. I was talking with a preacher friend recently, and he's trying to find a larger church, and he's trying to find a fellow to run his Christian school. He's had a guy that's been on staff for about 15 years, and that guy is going to go become a pastor now, and he's looking for a... And I asked him the other day, I said, you found a guy yet for that, run that Christian school? And he said, no, not yet. He said, Brother Jeremy, you know what? He said, I have interviewed 6 different men coming out of Bible college and asked them, and some of them that already had experience with Christian schools. And he said, I asked him, you know, here's what I'm looking for, Christian school. And I get it. If you've ever been around a Christian school or a homeschool, run. Okay, if anybody ever says, I'll hire you, run. But so I get that part. But he said, I can't get anybody that wants to. We have a me first men. I know what God wants me to do, but right now I'm going to take care of me. And when I'm okay, when I'm taken care of, then I'll worry about what everyone else needs. You know, Jesus ran into this me first crowd. In Luke chapter 9, the Bible says, verse 57, it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He said, I'll follow you, God. And he said, you know, I don't have a house, and we never hear from that person again. Oh, I'll follow God as long as I can have this type of house and this kind of car. And if we can have this kind of furniture and we still have this kind of income, I'll do exactly what God wants me to do. Me first. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go home and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. The me first mentality. I wonder today if there's something God's had on your heart. Something he's, maybe it's something plain in scripture, the ones we struggle with. Husbands, you know, loving your wife as you should. Not just empty words, but I mean really loving our spouse. Maybe there's something you're reading in the Bible and you say, man, I struggle in that area. Maybe it's something you know God's laid on your heart to do for someone else or to do in ministry. Is our first reaction, I can't do that. I could never do that. My dad's parents, both of them are gone. One passed away in 84 and the other passed away in 96. And in fact, in April of 96, but boy, he had such a rough childhood. And his parents would tell him, you're stupid, you're dumb. By the way, you should never tell your kids that stuff. Now, you may have once in a while had to say, stop doing stupid stuff. But there's a difference between that and you're so stupid, you're the dumbest kid I've got, you're the stupidest. I tell you what, you're not going to amount to anything. That's what my dad's parents told him. And I don't think you ought to have to go to Oprah Winfrey. I don't think that you need Dr. Phil. I don't think we ought to live our life blaming our childhood. He doesn't do it, but I can tell you right now, at nearly 70 years old, he still battles to this day with what people think, what people are thinking. And it goes back to that childhood where he had a dad that said, Carl, you're never going to amount to anything. I bet you wind up in jail. What great parenting. What wonderful parenting. Friend, listen to me. Maybe you've grown up around that, so you immediately, your reaction to anything out of your comfort zone is, I can't. Maybe you're one of those that maybe grew up a spoiled, rotten brat, and so your mind says, me first, let's go be me first. And maybe you're one of those husbands that grew up in a home where, I mean, if you wanted it, you got it, mama catered to you, and so you think that's life, is me first, and me first, and me first. And friend, that's not the way God intended us to live our life. There's another mindset we have to overcome. I see it in our text there in chapter 17, and in verse number 13, Elijah said unto her, fear not. Fear not. What about the I am afraid mentality? I just don't know that I could, I don't know how. Maybe your makeup tends toward doubt and fear in all that you do. What if? How will we? What's going to happen? How are we going to make this? But hey, the Bible says we've not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Amen. That's right.
We built that gymnasium last year. You realize that God did that in the middle of a pandemic? You know how nervous I was as a leader to take on that kind of debt, and but yet you see God doing things all along before then and during that time and after that time. And I'm saying to you that God wants to do some big things in our life, but he can't if we continue with the I can't mentality or the me first mentality or the, well, I'm just afraid. How is all this going to work out? I don't know if it's just years in life now, 46 years old. Brother Mark called me old this morning. We were all talking after the men's prayer meeting, and I said, man, I'm looking forward to mowing my yard tomorrow. And he just sipping his coffee. He says, Man, that's what all you old people talk about is, I can't wait to mow my yard. And I said, hey, I can't wait to mow my yard. I don't know if it's just years. I don't know if it's just staying faithful. God has always been good. But I'm telling you what, last couple of years, God has just been, I mean, poured out his blessing on our life. I don't mean dollar signs. I mean, man, you know, when your kids are little, if you love the Lord and you're a Christian man, a Christian woman, you dream of, all right, are my kids going to hate church or are they going to love church? They may at that little bitty toddler age or little primary age, they may say, oh, we're going to church today. But one day they're going to wake up and they're excited to go get on a bus ride. They're excited to go to the youth department, whatever it may be. But friend, listen, man, you dream of having, a young adult daughter that has a good spirit and people love her because she doesn't compete. She's genuine. She's real. She treats everyone equally. How does that happen? That's just the blessings of God for being faithful. The hand of God. I dreamed of having a teen boy that really wanted to. He's his own personality. No doubt about that. He's his uncle's personality, but no doubt. But he loves the bus route and he loves the bus church. And the other day he says, Dad, what about if we could do this with the chairs in bus church? And what if we could do that? Cause it would help the noise. And I thought, I can't believe a 16-year-old is so excited about the things of God that he even gives a rip what's going on in the middle. I thought that was only, when I was a kid, to be honest with you, that was always just adult stuff. Man, I love that. I love the blessings of God. I've told you about Sarah's school, and she'll graduate 5 weeks. In fact, I think 5 weeks from today, we have to fly up to Tennessee. And man, that school's expensive for what it is, $15,000 a year. That's with a couple of scholarships, $30,000 in 2 years. She paid half. We paid half. Thank God she paid her half. But what if we would have looked at it and said, ain't happening. We ain't paying that. You're on your own. You figure it out. Here's that cop out. Nobody ever helped me. I'm not trying to make you mad. That's just sorry parenting. Well, ain't nobody ever took us anywhere. Okay, sorry parent. Maybe your parents just didn't have the income that you have today. Maybe your parents just didn't. Maybe can we ever just step it up and say, you know what, we want to do things a little bit differently. Our parents did a great job. Let's do greater. Let's see if we could do something. And I'm telling you, to know that her bill was paid 2 weeks ago is completely paid off. And you look back and you say, how? I'll tell you how, God. Amen. And guess what? We bought a boy for $30,000. Now, I don't have time. You know that story. Wasn't even at the college there. But if you live your whole life with, I can't, me first, I'm afraid, how are we ever going to do this? You're never going to get to enjoy the full blessings of God upon your life. Let me give you this quickly here. If you look back in our text in 1 Kings 17. So that was her initial mindset was, I can't. Her initial reaction was, well, you know, I got to take care of me and my kid. I don't see how I could I don't see how I could do that. Her initial reaction was fear. But she got the victory. This is the good news. She got the victory. How can we get the victory? So what must we do? These are simple points. What must we do to perform God's will for our life in every area? Number one is this. Listen to the Lord. We have to listen to the Lord. The Bible says in verse 9 God telling Elijah about this woman, about halfway through the verse, in verse 9, he said, behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Hey, God spoke to this lady in verses 10 and 11. We read Elijah talking to her. So the preacher, if you will, God's man spoke to her. How do we find the will of God for our life? Hey, listen to the Lord. Listen as you read God's word. When it's plain on paper, we don't have to debate it. When it's laid out there, it's not something we have to pray about. If we want to be in the middle of God's will, let's obey what God says in His Word. Listen as you read God's Word. Listen as His Word is taught. Listen as His Word is preached. Listen to the still small voice of God. Listen to the Lord. Number two is this, live by faith. Live by faith. Right, I've got to know what God wants, but then I've got to be willing to do it. In verse 12, she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil and a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. There's a drought in the land. There's a famine in the land. She thinks it's all over with. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. All right. So she had a choice to make, either live in fear or live by faith. If God said it in His Word, or if God is leading you through His Holy Spirit, step out by faith and do it. And may I add this, never undo in doubt what you began by faith. Never undo in doubt what you began by faith. Example, seventh grader surrenders to preach. But by the 11th grade, they're thinking money. By the 11th grade, they're thinking about girls. By the 11th grade, they're thinking about their favorite secular college football team. By the 11th grade, they're talking to dad about dad's career. And they'll say something like this, I think I just went through an emotional time in my life in the seventh grade when I surrendered to preach. You know, I think I just did what everyone else was doing. Now, let me say this. Now, I'm just about done, but let me say this. Time out here. Yes, there are many men who weren't really called to preach, and some of them make it all the way to the pulpit and never should have. But there are many men who, yes, maybe, that's why I don't like it. I just, these places where they promote to young people, who will carry the baton? And anyone who's called to preach gets a baton tonight. And it's like, I know what you're trying to do. But these are young people that we need the Spirit of God to speak to them. Not I got my favorite baton signed by my favorite preacher. Hey, what do we do? How do we find the will of God? We listen to the Lord. And we live by faith. Number three is this. Let go and let God. Let go and let God. All right? She says, God had already spoken to her heart. Then wouldn't you believe it? The preacher gets up and preaches on the very thing God was already working on her heart about. Give me a drink. Give me some food. Her reaction, I can't. Her reaction, I gotta make sure my son and I are taken care of. I mean, it's about me first. That's a lot of Christians today, me first. I'm gonna tip God. I'm gonna pitch a five in the plate while I have everything in the world materialistically. So, me first, and then she says, Elijah has to tell her, you're fearful. You're living in fear. If you know it's what God wants you to do, hey, God will be the one that does it. In fact, let go and let God. Remember that verse, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Everyone says this, time flies. That's absolute truth. I'm not going to tell you which one of my friends in here got offered a senior discount the other day, but it's absolute truth that, man, we're getting older by the second, and it's like you turn around and it's like, wow. One day I'm sitting in my house with a little 2-month-old baby girl and a wife, and dad says, hey, we're leaving Trinity. And the next day you look up and you've been pastor 20 years. So, man, what happened? I'm glad back then I didn't say, you know what? I'm working for Frito-Lay. I make a pretty good salary. I have a chance to get some bonuses here. I have a chance to move on up in the company. I think I'm going to take care of me and my wife and daughter. We'll worry about the will of God later on. I wonder where we'd be today. I'm glad I didn't say, you know what, Dad, I can't. I can't pastor that church. That's your church. 17 and a half years And I can't, and I'm glad I didn't say that. Now, there are a lot of people that said that to me, but you can't. I just see you as that little boy Well, good. I just see you as that old mean person. They did back then. There were a couple of them that did. Like, we just can't see you as pastor. I'm like, don't worry. I can't either. So, aren't you glad when you look up one day and you say, man, I'm so glad I didn't say I can't. I'm so glad I didn't say, you know what, I'll do that when it's convenient for me, when it works out for me. If you're here today and you're concerned with, I'm still trying to find them with God. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who I'm going to marry. I don't know what God wants me to do in ministry. I don't know. Here's all you need to do. Just keep doing exactly what you know you're supposed to be doing. And if God has anything else for your life, He'll show you in His perfect way and in His perfect time, if you'll be sensitive to the still small voice of God. So here are the four. Listen to the Lord, live by faith, let go, and let God. You ever been ice skating and you had to let go of that rail for the first time? Ooh, you know? Let go. Well, I know what God wants. Well, why are you wasting time? Look at what she did in verse 15. And she went. And did according to the saying of Elijah. She went. How do we overcome those negative mindsets? How do we do what God wants us to do? We listen to the Lord. We read His Word. We listen to what He says in His Word. We listen to the preacher preach. We listen to the Spirit of God, the still small voice of God. We step out. We live by faith. We let go. We let God. We see what God does in our life. And then the fourth one is this. We learn how good and how faithful and how trustworthy God is. We learn how good and how faithful and how trustworthy God is. Look at verse 15. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which He spake by Elijah. Aren't you glad that God is always faithful? God will never lie to us. And what God wants us to do, He'll provide for it. He'll lead us. The center of God's will is the greatest place that you and I could be. We don't know what's going to happen with Sarah and Jared. We just assume at this point they seem to be a perfect match and love one another. And there's going to come a time where they get married. And I don't care about that, but if they can give me a grandchild, that's what I'm excited about. But I don't know if they're going to wind up in Wills Point. I don't know if they're going to wind up in Rosebud, Arkansas. I don't know if they're going to wind up in Gray, Tennessee, Johnson City, Tennessee. I don't know if they're going to wind up in Alaska. I just want them to wind up in the complete center of God's will for their life. Because I'd rather have a child living 1,000 miles away in the center of God's will than a child living next door so I can play with the kids, but out of the will of God. Hey, let's make sure we're walking in the will of God for our life. We can win the victory over the challenges that we face. I can't. We just can't right now. I'm just fearful we can win that victory as we pursue the will of God. Hey, has God been working on you about something lately? I don't believe God gives me messages just for no reason. Maybe there's something you've been working out, something simple in the Bible, and maybe you were working on it, but then you've allowed those attitudes to creep in. Maybe get rededicated to that today, or maybe it is something that you know. You sit there and, man, you know, I'm not where God wants me to be. I know there's something I need to be doing. Hey, step out by faith. I mean, just get in all the way. It's the blessed life, I promise you. You know, the Bible tells us it's not God's will that anyone should die and go to hell. The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but His long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, I wonder today if there's somebody in here, an adult, a teenage young man, teenage young lady, that doesn't know the Lord as your personal Savior. Hey, I want you to know God wants you to be saved today. Amen. When you die one day, when I die one day, and none of us know what age that's going to be, but when they put us in the ground one day, our soul will already be in one of two places, heaven or hell. The Bible says that hell was created for the devil and his angels. We're not even supposed to go there, but it does also tell us that those who reject Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they never get born again. They never become a part of the family of God. They never get their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Bible says whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. I don't want you to go there one day. I'm just like you. I've never seen it. And there are times I think, man, it just, really, there's another place somewhere. And that's where our loved ones are. And we're going to be there one day. And let's be honest, you're like, it's just kind of weird because we're just used to earth. But I believe God's word. And the Bible says God cannot lie. And so that's good and bad, because if you reject Christ, God says you have to go to hell, and he didn't lie about it. The good news is, though, he said, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you can be saved. If you believe Christ died for your sins on the cross, trust him as your Savior today. We're going to pray here in just a moment. Someone could take a Bible at the altar, show you how to be saved. No matter what age you are, you need to get that thing settled now, because we have no promise of tomorrow. Christians, are we in the will of God? Is there something God's been working on our heart about? Something simple, that simple little verse written in the Bible that we struggle with, pray without ceasing. Whether it's something big in our marriage, whether it's something big in the whole, hey, want to be pastor of Trinity Baptist Church? Huh? What? Wasn't written anywhere. God just said, and I believe it. And there may be some bitter people around Will's Point that don't believe it, but Carl Ogden believes it. I believe it. I believe it was God's perfect timing, perfect way, when God was ready. And that's how he presents that secret will. Let's do what God wants us to do, and God will reveal anything else.